thank you so much for that song this morning. It's not something to take for granted to hear good Christian music. And what a joy. What a joy. And it came from the heart. You can see that. Well, if you would take out your sheet of paper, please, and a pen, we'll have a pop quiz this morning. Wrong Tuesday. Get out of that mode. It's a joy to be able to be here with you. It almost feels like a reunion each year to be able to come to gather together with brothers and sisters in the Lord, some young and some not so young, young at heart, but just like-hearted and like-minded, wanting to serve the Lord. And we love you and rejoice in the friendship that God allows us to have around His Word. We'll be in Matthew 7 and Luke 6 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 7 and Luke 6. If you could remember in prayer, I thought you'd enjoy knowing on our way back from the National Baptist Fellowship meetings, we were able to letterbox a couple of towns. One of them was Balrenald, one was Hay. And we received two responses from Balrenald about a week ago, week and a half ago. It's a correspondence course for the gospel. Four correspondence lessons, and wonder if you'd pray with us for Simon, and the other one starts with an S. Sean, thank you. Simon and Sean for their salvation, and also pray next week. We're hoping some of us are going to be down at the Sapphire Coast. We've got about 16,000 tracks prepared and a concert, Christmas concert we want to have Thursday. And please just pray as the gospel goes forth. The only people witnessing down there are the Jehovah's Witnesses. Of course, we know what kind of a message they're giving. But we have the right message. And we just pray that God would work in that outreach next week. And sure would appreciate your prayer. We're asking our church to pray and perhaps even fast about that. Matthew chapter 7, something simple this morning. I know you probably haven't had your second cup of coffee. Matthew chapter 7, and if you will notice, we're at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Our Savior has preached Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7, and it is just packed with instruction from the lips of our Savior. And then He ends with the perfect invitation. We're going to skip to that invitation. You know it. If you grew up in a church like this one, you probably sang a song based on this. Matthew 7 in verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, if you'll look at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, recorded there for us is just slightly different wording. Luke chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 46, which is the immediate context. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Okay, it says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we want to thank you for the wonderful words of life. This book and the gospel contained in it brought life to our deadness. It was the gospel that refreshed us and fed us, saved us and put us in your family, and that continues to feed us and refresh us. And this morning we do pray, sing those wondrous words to us. Make them precious to us. Father, I pray that we would hear your sayings and do them, submit to your will and your word. Father, we ask your help upon our study of this parable together for Jesus' sake. Amen. Back in February of 2011, a 6.3 magnitude earthquake struck Christchurch, 1251, February 22nd. They say that in that earthquake, the earth rose a meter. You can imagine that. A short time later, the earth moved horizontally the same distance. And in that time, 185 people died, and the city center, as you recall, just reduced to rubble, dust everywhere, falling masonry, and buildings beginning to teeter back and forth. They say that the earthquake caused widespread damage, not just in the CBD of Christchurch, but also the eastern suburbs. A friend of ours who attends our church just returned back from Christchurch and sought to try to lay out for us just how extensive the damage is and how long it will take to repair it. You can go onto the internet and you can see the results of it still to this day. For example, they had something I'd never had heard about till this time, significant liquefaction. Liquefaction caused 400,000 tons of silt, and you can see cars buried in it. And I had to go look up what liquefaction is. Basically, the soil becomes so saturated or partially saturated to the point where it loses its strength, it loses its stiffness. And so you may have built a building into it, you may have laid your foundation very solid into that ground, thinking this is going to last, then it became liquefied, and when the stress came, it lost its strength, lost its stiffness, and it became almost like quicksand. And through that time, many buildings went down. A fellow that lived there said he had built a house in Queensland, built to the standard several years back, I think in the 80s, he said, to withstand the cyclones up there. And he said they're more stringent here in Christchurch, he said, with their building code. The problem wasn't the building code. You just cannot build a building that's going to withstand the kind of earthquake at that kind of power and that close by. As it was right there at the center. In fact, in Christchurch, they have earthquakes on a daily basis still, every single day. Small little quakes and occasionally larger ones. But in the aftermath of that earthquake, here's what he wrote. He's apparently involved in the building. He said, a house without a concrete pad, in other words, a foundation that is cracked and split, with a concrete pad that is cracked and split. He said, that house is history. He said, each day over the last 5 months, he's writing just after the earthquake, he said, I've driven to work. I've looked with wonder at a multi-million dollar modern home owned by a well-known sporting identity. It looks normal from the road, but it's going to be pulled down because the foundation became cracked. It's a beautiful home. It's an expensive home. He talked about a 26-level Grand Chancellor Hotel constructed in 1995, very latest of the building code. But he said at the end of that, shortly after it began to tilt, it's at 2 degrees, at least at the time of his writing, and the suggestion being it's going to come down. In fact, more than 500 buildings in the CBD, they said, we're going to have to come down, all because of this foundation. And absolutely, or I should say this earthquake and the liquefaction that came from that. And really, no building can withstand the kind of shock that an earthquake brings if you're close to the epicenter. The fact is, according to this parable that we've read this morning, each one of us is a builder. Each of us is building our lives one day at a time. We're building our marriages, if you're married this morning, one day at a time. Those who will be married, you're building your marriage even prior to your marriage in your preparation of your life for marriage. We're building our homes and our families day after day. And if you're a church member, you're helping to build your church family one day at a time. I wonder, are you building your life, are you building your marriage or your home on the foundation, a solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you look in Matthew's gospel there in chapter 7, notice in verse 25, it's almost exactly identical with verse 27. Notice the pressures. Notice the stress test that comes on this building from above, from below, and from either side. From above, we have beating rain. We've had a fair amount of rain recently. Here it's coming down hard. Notice the floods. The floods came. Stream, Luke 6 says, beat vehemently. So this is not just a gentle pool of water, but picture in your mind a raging stream or floods testing the strength of that house. And then from either side, we have winds. You picture the gale force sort of winds that sometimes we can get, at least around this part of the world. And so the pressure is there. And yet in verse 25, we have a different outcome to verse 27. Same pressure, same storm, same rain, but a different outcome. In verse 25, it fell not. We might say it was sturdy. And in verse 27, it says, it fell. And then at the end, great was the fall of it. Luke describes it similarly in Luke chapter 6. He says in verse 48, the first building could not shake it. You could not shake it. But in verse 49, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we have the same pressures, the same storm coming into this, against this building, if you will, but a totally different outcome. What was the difference? And the difference is very clear to us, of course, in the end of verse 25, or beginning of verse 25 of Matthew 27. It tells us, the end of verse 24, which built his house upon a rock. And in Luke 6, he references digging deep and laying the foundation on a rock. The difference was the foundation. That is what changed the entire outcome. If you'll think about the fact, you can have a magnificent structure. You can build this structure with marble floors, maybe even the walls, maybe granite. You may have beautiful chandeliers. The bathrooms may have spas in them all, beautiful tapware, no expenses spared, just complete opulence in this beautiful structure. And yet, it can all fail because the foundation wasn't right. And I want us to think for just a moment about the foundation that you're building your life upon, your marriage upon, your home upon, and of course our churches upon. The difference between these two structures was the rock. One was built upon the rock. It's not the strain of the storm. It's not the trial that makes the difference. It's not the temptations. It's not, I'm just having a very difficult time and nobody else understands what I'm going through. No, we all are tested in like ways. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, of course, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. The foundation was the problem. And I wonder, if I were to ask it this way, what ruined the building? Could I ask, what is it that ruins a life? What is it that ruins a life? Is it the pressures of life coming at me from all these different directions? I've got them coming every direction. They're coming from above. They're coming below. They're coming around me. Everywhere I turn, it's those pressures. No, the storm only reveals that the structure I've constructed, whether I've constructed it on a firm foundation or not. Now, what is the rock? Well, you know what the rock is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul said, I am the wise master builder. I laid the foundation. And he said, that foundation is whom? Let's look there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Apostle Paul is dealing in the context of church planting. He said, when I started the church there in Corinth, he said, I was the wise master builder in verse 10. He pictures the church in verse 9 as a building. We know the church, your church family, our church family, it's not made up of the brick and mortar that we might refer to as our church sometimes. It's the people. And he says, we're laborers together with God. We're in God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's the job of the church planter. He said, and another buildeth thereon. There's a new pastor there at Corinth, he said. And he said, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Of course, the message there, it's very important how we build God's church. But the point I want to make is in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the rock on which I must build my life or my church or my marriage or my family, my home, it must be on the rock of Jesus Christ. And if I fail to do that, I am building on the only other alternative, which is sinking sand. Now, what is the picture of the sinking sand? Well, the sinking sand is our world. This world that we live in is constantly shifting in its philosophies and in its, you know, in the things that it believes. 100 years ago, they were patrolling beaches and they were measuring swimsuits for modesty, literally. And some of our older saints remember those times, or at least they, their parents did. And they were concerned about modesty. In our area, there was a particular section where, it was just for the ladies to swim in, and they would literally have someone patrolling around the perimeter to make sure only the ladies were there. That was 100 years ago, but they've shifted, haven't they? 60 years ago, they were bashing sodomites here in Sydney. Some were. And I mean, I've had someone share testimony of taking a sodomite out, how the lost would do it. They'd take them out and they'd rough them up. There was one that was killed in the eastern suburbs 60 years ago. But today, everything shifted. Everything's the other way. And we're certainly not suggesting that that was the right response. These were lost people. But I'm saying the world has shifted from this being a bad thing to now it's an accepted thing, and they want to be able to change the rules. 50 years ago, marriage was between a man and a woman to the exclusion of all others. But now that is changing. It is now becoming the opinion, the major opinion, the popular thought out there that, well, they have a right to that kind of lifestyle. The world is shifting, is my point. It's a sand that you build your life upon, and it's going back and forth all the time. And the problem when you build your church on what Saddleback Sam wants rather than what Christ wants is Saddleback Sam's preferences change all the time. If you've ever heard of a fella by the name of Rick Warren, he talks about how you've got to go out and get in the community and find out what's everybody listening to on their radio stations. And he literally did it. Everybody put it down on cards. He took them in, and the majority won. Whichever radio station they wrote the number down on, that's the one that they emulated in their church. And now, of course, they've decided to have several kinds of congregation songs. You know, you can go to this place and you can have jazz in that particular room, and you can go over to this one, you can have something else. And that way, all the preferences of the world can be solved. Saddleback Sam, they called it. Find out what Saddleback Sam wants and gear everything to what the average person wants and make them comfortable. Change your music. Change the way you dress when you come to the house of God. And they're constantly shifting, because they haven't built on the foundation stone of Jesus Christ. Now, why don't people build their lives on the rock? Think about this for a moment with me. There could be a number of reasons. Imagine if you were a foreigner, you've just arrived in an area and you decide you want to build, and you haven't really become aware that you're in an earthquake-prone zone. Let's say it's Christchurch. You don't realize, for whatever reason, that this is an area where you better build, take into consideration that the ground may not stay where it is right now. And so you're going to go ahead and build, but you're ignorant, and in your ignorance you build, you know, without a foundation, without a proper structure, without a go out and get the structural engineers and the architects and so forth, and get that the design such that it will withstand the shaking and moving. Well, we might understand, we might forgive someone like this who just out of ignorance does it. But what if we know better? What if we know this is an earthquake-prone zone? We must take that into consideration in our building. Someone else might take a DIY approach. Well, you know, I'll just do it myself, I don't really know much of what I'm doing, but we'll build that way. And sometimes people build without a foundation for that, or they're trying to save a little bit of money. So we'll cut a few corners here. You can always find someone out there that maybe will cook the books a little bit and change things around. And maybe we can just get a structural engineer, see if we can find one who will just change things and save me, you know, half the cost. Well, why not? I'm never going to see that foundation anyway. I mean, it takes me months. It takes them months to put that in, and I'll never see it. It's never beautiful. It's not going to probably add to the value of the house. Why? I'll just cut a few corners there. Sometimes people build without a foundation for that reason. They'll find an easier structural engineer. My, the devil's got his structural engineers out there spiritually. There are all kinds of false prophets, all kinds of people telling, we've got an easier way. You don't need to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Come over here. Try this over here. It's much easier. And you can keep the pleasures of life. You can have these idols if you like. We won't take them away from you. You can have a little bit of religion, and you can have your sin as well. Those structural engineers abound. And sometimes people build without a proper foundation because of a poor example. Everybody else builds their house this way, so that's what I'll do. And they don't realize everybody else is building it wrongly. We've got to build on the right foundation. We're in a church building program, as you know, and it took us so long to get that foundation right. The foundation is the most vital part of the building. It's not the tile. It's not the beautiful paintwork and all that. That's at the end of the building. But you've got to get the foundation right. Now, we, shall I say, tut-tut the structural engineer or the shoddy builder of a house that doesn't get the foundation right. But what about the building of a life? It's bad enough when there's shoddy workmanship on a building. It might cost lives. But what about the building of God's church? What about the building of our home? It's important that we get it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes someone will say, well, this foundation bit is just... it's just a bit of a hassle right now. We'll just throw something together and later on I'll come and reinforce the foundation. You ever try to do that? That's an extremely expensive and hard task to do. There is a company that'll do that. My house, when we bought it, we were told that just under my bedroom, it's sinking a little bit. And so our bedroom's just sinking a little bit. And we brought someone in, said, what should we do? And they said, well, we can bore holes underneath the foundation and pump concrete in there. And I said, well, what will that cost? I think it was several thousand, $4,000 or $5,000, $10,000, somewhere around there. We haven't done it yet. So we need to. But we'll get the church building done first. But you can't just wait to reinforce the foundation later. You've got to start right now. I want to ask you if you're building your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Are you building, young people, are you building your foundation on Jesus Christ from the start? You who are graduating, you've heard the word, you've studied hard for these many years, and you're leaving, and you're going to go out there, build your life and your ministry and your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You who are young couples or facing that, maybe approaching marriage in the near future, build your marriage on the rock. There are plenty who don't. There are plenty who used to build it on the rock, but they've left that foundation. And they're now picking up worldly philosophies and worldly thinking. And they're no longer building their marriage on the rock. I want to warn you this morning. This is crucial. My parents are getting a divorce right now. They said it's on hold at the moment. But they left the rock. I've watched it over the last few years, and they're talking. Brethren, sisters, this is the building code. Stick to it. Don't leave it. This will tell us as husbands how to love our wives and honor our wives and lead our wives. And ladies, it'll tell you how to submit to your husband and help your husband and have a sweet marriage. Respect your husband. And children, it'll tell you how to obey your parents. And parents, it'll tell you how to raise those children for God. Build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. This isn't theory. This is critical to our homes. When we started the building of the church building that we're doing right now, I became familiar with something I didn't know existed. It's called the Building Code of Australia. All structural work has to be done in accordance with the Building Code of Australia. Brethren and sisters, it is not a suggestion. They come around and check that you're doing it. In fact, you pay for them to do it. They're called certifiers. Private certifier, or you can get the council to do it, and they will make sure you're doing it according to the Building Code of Australia. Say, oh, I don't want you judging me. They're going to do it anyway. How about if we build our lives on the Building Code of Heaven? And how about we be thankful if a brother or sister comes along and says, I notice you're not holding to the building code of heaven. You're straying a little bit. Let's get back to the building code of heaven. But wait a minute. I haven't really gotten to the heart and soul of what he said. Please go look there in Matthew chapter 7. He says in verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and what's the next three words? Doeth them not. There's the difference. I can hear the words. I can sit in the services. We can have our family Bible times. We can have our independent time with God on a regular basis, but it's not enough to just hear it. I can sit in a classroom and hear it, but I must put it into practice. It's a wonderful thing to take, well, I don't know if it's wonderful, but to take the Building Code of Australia and study it and know it thoroughly. Right now, we're trying to get a handicap railing. There are specific rules about handicap railings. Costs a little bit more, but we'll get it done right. I can't just ignore them and say, she'll be right. No, I have to know what they are, or else the $2,000 we spend on the things down the tube and we're going to have to buy some more. So we might as well get it right the first time. It's one thing to thoroughly study the Building Code of Australia, but then we must put it into practice. And it's not enough to hear the sayings of Jesus. I must obey them. I must put them into practice in my home and in my life. Build your life on the rock. How do I do it? I obey the Word. I told you this is simple. It's not complex this morning. This is just a simple message, but I want to challenge you. Put it into practice. The things that the Spirit of God has taught you and is teaching you. Go out and do it. That God might bless it. Luke chapter 6, quickly. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled? We've got the foundation. Luke chapter 6. Notice at the end He says, in verse 46, they got not only the hearing right, but in verse 46, they got the profession right. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, Kyrios, Master, Boss, Lord, you're my sovereign, you're my king, I'll do whatever you say. You say it, he said, but then do not the things which I say. Do we see the context in which he then went into this parable? He's speaking to people who said the words. They made the profession. They even heard. But they didn't obey what Jesus said. I want to challenge you this morning. Build your life on the rock. The wise man obeys. It'll cost you to disobey God. It'll cost you to walk away from God's way. You can't disobey God's way and expect that your house will remain sturdy and steady when the storms come. You're going to have to obey. May I challenge you, young ones, build your life. You're just getting started. Build your life on the Lord. Build it on what He says. But make it a life not just of, well, I know what He says. Do it. Live it. Obey it. Put it into practice. And may I challenge those of us who are on the other side, a little older. Don't stray from the foundation you've built. Your life's been built on Christ. Finish well. For someday we're going to cross the finish line, won't we? And when we do, Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's when we'll find out whether the structure's still standing. Will your house still be sturdy and secure when you give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ? If it is, it'll be because you were submissive to the Lordship of Christ. Let's bow for prayer.